This is Levi Armandelli, artist for IDW's Transformers, and you're listening to the Transmissions Podcast.
But I actually put some brain power to it.
Mm-hmm.
James is upset that I don't buy his book, but he doesn't listen to our show regularly.
Was he actually upset?
No.
I think he was.
He didn't. Yeah.
He's a sensitive guy, though, I have to say.
Like, see? He asked, I would say, challenging questions, which I think is good for an interview.
So
preview of things to come.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Can I use your restroom real fast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. I'm going to myself up. And
I'm if you're going to take a number two, we're going to step out.
No, I won't.
All right, good. Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk about all news, toys, and comic books related to the
Transformers.
On this amazing Transformers Comic Con convention.
TFCon.
TFCon.
Mike, we're going to need your help on this one.
We have the extraordinary artist Livio Ramondelli here.
Hello.
And we're going to just grill him since he's been drinking. And he volunteered, so fuck it.
Jeez.
First question. How are you doing?
Oh, man. I didn't know you'd start so hard.
She said.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Tired.
Surviving the show?
Jet lagged.
Yeah.
Exhausted.
Excited.
Yeah, good.
So the first day is officially over.
Yeah.
I saw you sketching like a madman.
Yeah, it was super busy. It was like the minute the doors opened, it was tons of people lining up. No matter when you tell people to, like, let me know ahead of time on commissions, you know, and some people do, but they always also ask at the show, so you have to, like, just know you're going to be drawing like all day long. And it was like just pretty crazy. Like, I haven't been done this show in 2 years. So mm-hmm. usually if you skip out for 2 years, there's a lot of like build up for people to come back. So yeah, it was just really, really packed, but really cool people. And then, yeah, I'm tired, but really enjoying it. So,
good.
Yeah.
Good. You know, I'm somewhat upset having walked the floor and the lack of comics.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little more toy based. I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk to some people about that.
Sure.
Well, I mean, part of that is that IDW only goes to the official BotCon show. They don't go to the unofficial shows. Like, if IDW was here, they'd have a whole booth selling comics.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well,
that's true.
They're missing out.
They weren't at BotCon. They weren't? No, they were there last year.
What's the weirdest thing or the coolest thing you've been asked to sketch? Because I'm like trying to fill ideas for myself to ask other people. But like, have you been asked to draw something cool like Johnny Five or something just completely random?
I
think
pretty hard about that, because you did draw something for somebody in this room. That's already
I did. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
don't be a dick.
Yeah. By all means.
I just got the single ass.
We can't hear you on the mic. You have to come closer to the mic.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Jeremy.
Let's talk Transformers.
But yeah, I mean, it's actually kind of refreshing when you ask for like a non-traditional Transformer thing. Like,
yeah.
As much as you love like the regular characters, like, yeah, I did like Darth Vader. I did a Mr. Freeze today, which was fun.
I saw that. That looked badass.
Yeah, thanks. That was cool. Yeah, nothing too insane. The rest were just standard Transformer kind of stuff.
Right.
But yours was kind of out of... unusual, but it was good stuff. But yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was good.
We haven't seen it.
It isn't done yet.
Oh, it's finished. Oh, it's finished.
Is it really?
Oh yeah, it'll be ready tomorrow. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but yeah,
you'll see it tomorrow.
So yeah,
Cool.
Not to be vague on a podcast where people can't see images or.
It'll.
It's a drawing.
You have to understand. The last time we did this, I won trips to the store with a roll of duct tape.
Yeah. Oh.
So I'm gonna win again with your drawing.
Okay.
So it's gonna go up against another one of his drawings.
Is it?
Oh. Wait. There's a competition of.
Oh yeah. Oh. Yeah. We're competing now.
Didn't know that.
And he wins with fucking random shit. I seriously had close to $400 worth of toys, and he pulls out a roll of fucking duct tape with the logo on it and wins. Wow.
God, I had no idea I was a pawn in this elaborate game.
Life has become like this fucking game.
I know, yeah.
We don't even care.
That's intense, yeah.
So have you gotten a chance to visit with the other artists and writers and whatnot?
A bit. I mean, I just saw Alex Milne in BotCon like a few weeks ago. And then James, I guess I haven't seen James in a while, but I feel like I see him pretty often because we do conventions like I'll go to England or he'll come over here. And so like... neither of us have ever hung out in each other's hometown ever in years. We're always in different cities and different countries, a bit. There's actually less of us here than usual. Usually there's like Andrew Griffith will come here, or Casey Kohler, or Brendan Cahill, and like it's a little more limited this year. But
so then you're just getting banged with that many more requests.
Yeah, it does seem like there's more. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Tell us about that relationship that you've developed with Andrew Griffith. That seems to become the IDW bromance of the century.
Oh, it is. No, for sure it is. I mean, occasionally his wife or my girlfriend comes along and, you know, gets in the way, but... No, we're like real travel buddies. Like, we've literally been to Japan together twice. It was really... Because I honestly, before the first trip, I didn't know Andrew that well. Like, I kind of knew him the way I knew, like, the other guys at shows. Yeah. Like, you meet up at your tables are next to each other. But, I mean, you bond pretty quick through your love of, like, Transformers and, like, mm-hmm. work for the same company and stuff. And then he and I both, like, wanted to travel. And so we first, like, really bonded when we made these contacts in Tokyo. We both wanted to go over there. And we knew this guy who was, like, a translator, Andrew Hall, who lives over there, who was a great contact. And he helped us set up these events where, like... Our first trip to Tokyo was just amazing. Like, I mean, that's when Andrew and I became like BFFs because it was like 14 days in Japan together. You know, you're kind of limited by who you're in contact with. And it was like, we didn't kill each other. So from there, it's fun. And it looks like we're going to China in November together for another thing. So, cool. Yeah. So, but yeah. So, yeah.
We miss you, Andrew.
I know. I'm missing too.
I think it's worth revisiting a couple of questions we've talked about in the past when we've had you on, because we've had listeners leave and listeners come back. And a lot of them have conventions before. What does somebody who wants to get a commission from you, what is the most polite way for them to address that?
Oh, at a convention or just convention? In general?
Well, at a convention / in general, and what's the protocol? What's the standard?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really easy. I mean, you can just flat out ask. Just be polite about it. But mm-hmm. I mean, like, I would say emailing ahead of time is always the best, just to give some kind of a heads up of how many you're getting, especially like if you want it to look good, some kind of a heads up that it's coming. But other than that, like, if you're going to get it at the show itself, like, do it early, mm-hmm. on the first day, as early as you can. Like, if you ask someone, like, deep into the first day, odds are you might not get it during that convention because the list, like, fills up really quick. Mm-hmm. And that's true of, like, almost any artist. Just, I would say, like, ask early or email ahead of time, you know? So.
And then I noticed, like, I went in really naive 2 years ago when I met you at Emerald City. Like, the different types of drawings that are offered and the different costs between them.
Yeah.
That wasn't a problem. I just was unaware.
Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah.
So, you know, you've got your head shots, you've got your body shots, and then you've got the insane shit that Daryl and I have now grown to ask for.
Yeah. Yeah, your main categories are like headshot, which is usually the cheapest, right. Torso or like a bust, which is like the mid-ground level, and then full figure, which is right. like the third tier, and they all get more expensive. And then you have people that want something really elaborate, like two characters fighting with like a full background, and that's... Honestly, for something that elaborate, this is a good tip. I would almost recommend not getting that done at a convention. Like, actually contact the artist through email, because that thing is so elaborate that you don't want them having to do that as they're dealing with people at a table or, like, in their hotel at night. Like, mm-hmm. if it's going to be super elaborate, just have them do it at home and, like, mail it to you.
That is something we don't talk about enough. You know, like, they can email you. You've got a website, and you're like, you know, I live in Alaska. I will never see you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can you do this drawing for me that's wicked crazy?
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I email, or, you know, I get emails from all over the world, and we all do. And then we ship stuff out to all over the world. So, you know, where you live, even if there's not a convention in your hometown, you can get commissions from anybody you want.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
And I've found that a good way to make friends is to keep artists supplied with food and drinks.
Yeah, man, yeah. Oh, thank you today, by the way. It was wonderful.
That definitely helps.
Yeah.
You know, you've been to a lot of conventions recently.
Yeah.
Aren't you sick of this? Don't you want a break?
A bit.
Or are you a workaholic?
No, I mean, well, I think like I probably did 15 conventions last year, uh-huh. and I'm going to be doing a little bit more this year. So,
You were in Dubai, too.
I was in Dubai. I went to Dubai a couple months ago. Yeah. So that was crazy. I mean, like, I really enjoy it. I mean, there are times where it's really tiring. Like, literally, like, today is Friday or Saturday. Last week, I did San Diego Comic-Con, which that's, like, the biggest convention of the year. That thing is really draining. So to have, like, a few days to recover from that and then fly to Toronto is a little tiring, you know?
Yeah.
So then sometimes it stacks up like that. But then, like, August is pretty light. I'm not doing anything in August. Uh-huh. September gets busy again. But, I mean, I do love the kind of traveling. You get to meet people. Like, at this point, like, anytime I go to one, I see, like, new friends or mm-hmm. old friends and, you know, someone you know online or something. But it does get tiring, but I also want to, like, take advantage of it while they're around, you know? Like, I hope. It seems like they're going to continue, but I want the shows to continue.
Right.
You know? And I want them all to, like, do well. And so, yeah, I like to support them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How many do you guys make it to, just out of curiosity, in a year? Do you think,
like, these two make it to way more than I do?
Like Transformers and regular Comic-Cons, how many do you think you guys get it to?
So I have a local Pittsburgh con called Steel City Con.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been to that a couple of times. I usually take my kids to that.
Okay. Is that downtown Pittsburgh or is that Monroeville?
That's Monroeville.
Monroe, okay, yeah.
So that's actually 10 minutes from my house.
Okay, because my brother used to live in Pittsburgh. And so, like, I've heard of that con. I always want to go. Yeah. So, yeah.
But actually, last year was the first time I went to BotCon, any Transformers con. I went to BotCon, and I went to TFCon Chicago last year.
Yeah.
And now I'm at TFCon Toronto, hopefully TFCon Charlotte, maybe. So,
nice.
So I think two is probably my limit.
Yeah.
Before family starts saying,
we spend money at them. You collect money.
That is true. That is true. Yeah.
I've been going a lot more exponentially.
Yeah.
I started with TFCon, this one, and then again the next year, and then it started going to the, because this organization has these 80s cons, and then they have the collector cons and stuff like that, which are held here. They're basically the same convention, only different shit.
Yeah.
So basically I do those, and then last year was the first time I went to Fan Expo, which you were at.
Yeah, Andrew.
Right? Another romance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another romantic getaway. Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course, yeah.
And that was my first experience at one of those, like, mega conventions.
Yeah.
Right? Which, that put me in my place.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
Yeah.
Fan Expo Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and Andrew and I have been back and forth about whether, you know, he's going back to that, and he has strong feelings about Fan Expo.
Yep. yes, he does.
But that's fine. But yeah, I've been exponentially going to more and more, which my wife is not super excited about.
Yeah, my girlfriend is not the most happy. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to China for 2.5 weeks. She's like, really? Great.
Yeah. But yeah, you come back with lots of money. So.
I try and explain that to her, that point to her, but
it's just business, baby.
Business. Exactly. It helps us both. Yeah.
Don't ask me about my business.
This might be too personal of a question, but it's my own ignorance.
Sure.
Do these conventions ask you to come? Do they give you money to come? How does that work?
It varies greatly. Uh-huh. Okay, so I probably shouldn't say specifically which ones do which, but let's say some of them will offer to cover like the table. Some will offer everything, you know.
Right.
So usually, odds are, if you see someone showing up in a city that's like tiny, middle of nowhere, it's because they've been covered completely.
Uh-huh.
Not always, but usually that's what works. And then sometimes it's just the conventions, like New York Comic Con, New York City Comic Con. Like that's really, really an expensive show. Like they don't cover much, but you'll see a lot of people there because it's a very lucrative show.
Right.
Same with like San Diego Comic Con. It's like it's just no matter what you have to pay to be there, it's well worth it. You'll make it over many times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it varies on, and it also varies on like your popularity as an artist, like some or any kind of creator. Like,
well, sure.
Sometimes some guys can get free shows anywhere, as they should, like guys that have been in the business for a long time. But I would say it varies a lot.
Okay.
So, yeah.
To go completely off wheels here, the last time I spoke to you, you had just gotten a custom Enterprise.
Yes.
Have you gotten anything new?
No, that was an expensive thing. I mean, I collect Hot Toys, so like the Star Wars line, everything, and that's an expensive hobby, like God. And the Enterprise was even more, because it was like a one-off custom thing. But I was just talking to someone else tonight, like the guy that made it for me is just like a savant, like he can make anything. So I'm so tempted to get, like, I have an idea, like I want a working carbon freezing chamber that I could like freeze something in, and like I bet he could do it. He could actually make it, and like, so I'm like, I'm trying to restrain myself from that. But I do have ideas. Like I think the next thing I'll get from him is like an Imperial, like AT-AT, Imperial Walker.
Well, why don't you wait until you see the latest Star Wars film before you ask for something?
That's true. You're right.
I mean, you may want the little roller robot.
Oh yeah,
something.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
Jimmers, you're new here. Do you have any questions that you can think of that we're not asking?
Yeah, actually, I do. How did the whole IDW relationship form?
Oh, like how I first started?
Yeah.
It was really random. Like I was working for I've told this story before. I was working for Wildstorm, another comic company, but that was almost kind of like irrelevant to IDW. I was just setting up like here. I was at like an Artist Alley table at like I think Long Beach Comic Con, and I just had Transformers prints out for fun, just kind of like fan art stuff. And Chris Ryle, who's their editor in chief, he walked by and he saw my art, and he was like, "Oh, you should submit to us." And he gave me his card. And then like a week later, Andy Schmidt emailed me, and he offered me covers for like Best of Optimus, Best of Megatron. So it was like super lucky, super random. So like I tell any artist who's like looking for like exposure or work, like just get a table in Artist Alley at a convention. Like you don't need to have published work. Just you never know who's gonna walk by. Like I was at San Diego Comic Con this week, and Guillermo del Toro walked up to my table.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was shocking. Awesome. I mean, that was like amazing. Like my brother and I, we saw him walking down the aisle like a mile away, and we were scrambling to get something ready because occasionally you see celebrities and you just like give them something. Like, oh, thank you so much. And it said he walked right up to our table, like, and he was like, he's like, oh, he's like, I like your work. And I was like, I like your work. Like, you're Guillermo del Toro. And then I was like, can I give you anything? Like, do you want any of anything? Yeah. And then he's like, no. He's like, but I want your card. So I was like, so I give my card. And I've been like, waiting. I've been checking my email like 4 in the morning. Maybe he'll email me at 4 a.m. But yeah, but I mean, like, that IDW was kind of the same type of thing. It's like, no idea who's going to walk by. My neighbor at San Diego Comic Con, he left an hour early. So we were watching his table and Seth Meyers walked up to him, like walked up looking for him. And we were like, we had no idea why.
Oh,
and he missed out meeting him. We have no idea what he was looking for him for. But like, yeah, super random, like random stuff. But yeah. But
so let's play this dream scenario out a little bit. You get that email from Del Toro.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I would do absolutely anything.
Right. No. Yeah. after you brush off your knees and you're working on his next film.
Would you
leave the comics away to finish that project? I mean, I guess you don't know because you know how much time it would take.
But. I don't know. I mean, I would love to just in general kind of branch out. You know?
Right.
Like I would never like to leave Transformers completely, but it would definitely be nice to like branch out in other things too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for any IDW artist, like the hope is that if you do another project that people like, they'll come on to Transformers because that helps all of us, right?
More
buyers, more readers of Transformers. So like, yeah, I mean like, but yeah, if Del Toro was like, I need you to design like a napkin in Pacific Rim 2, I'm like, I'm totally down. I'll design it for a month. Yeah, whatever.
Design the shit out of
that. Yeah. But I would jump all over that opportunity. Like,
gotcha.
The good thing about being freelance is that there's kind of the wiggle room. Like with IDW, I could tell them like, hey, I need to step away for like a month or something and they'd be totally fine. Like that's something that freelance kind of affords you. So
can you tell us what you're working on with IDW right now?
I am. We just announced we're going to do a sequel to the series Punishment we did. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be called Redemption.
That's right.
Which is a really cool story. It's sort of like Fury Road Transformers. That was John Barber's like pitch for it. And it's another self-contained story, so it's going to come out all as one book, which I love these days. That's like, I love reading trades, and like, it's going to be like 46 pages, and it's all about basically Slug and the Dinobots going on this mission into kind of like the Badlands of Cybertron, like outside of Icon, and some really unexplored territory, and some really cool stuff happens. Like, it's really different than anything else I've worked on. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I just started that like 2 weeks ago. So.
Are they going to do a motion comic like they did with Punishment?
There's no plans for that now because Madefire, the company we did Punishment with, I think they've kind of shifted their focus to being more of like a movie support house. Okay. So this is just going to come out straight as like a comic, which is good because a lot of people, like when Punishment came out, they didn't know much about it because we sort of let Madefire do the publicity, and so there was a lot of confusion about that
they
comic
did
and
zero publicity.
Yeah,
it
was
really bad.
And people asked us like all the time. The one good thing was that suddenly a brand new Transformers comic showed up on shelves. People had no idea it was even made, so it was like, that's cool. You get a free comic you didn't have to anticipate. But like, but yeah, this one will definitely be a better handled, I think. Yeah. You know, but the Mainframe guys were really great to work with. Like that, I thought their software was amazing. Like they were, for someone who doesn't really like motion comics that much, they really had kind of a fluid storytelling, you know?
So how did that process work? Did you submit like your Photoshop files to them and they animated?
It was really hard. Yeah. I mean, it was a learning curve because it's like normally when you draw something, you know, if a character's in front of a background, you don't have to draw what's through him because you want to see it.
Right.
But on that, you really had to draw everything. So it was all separate layers. And it was definitely a lot more work. I mean, if you think about like a skyline of Cybertron, if a character stands in front of that window, you don't have to draw 50 buildings, but suddenly you have to draw the entire thing. Mm. And then that's even excluding, like, if a character breaks through a wall, you have to separate all the individual pieces, have the wall solid, then have it break away all in one shot. And then also have it so that when it's printed in as a flat comic, that shot will work as a still. So that was, like, that was challenging for sure, you know?
Wow.
It's almost completely animation.
It was a total,
You basically did animation in a comic form.
Oh, yeah. And then you have to kind of... And they gave us a lot of freedom. They told me, like, just, you know, give us the layers you want, the stuff you want to see move. So, I mean, like, it was tricky, too, because there's this thing when anytime you want something to glow in Transformers, like eyes or lasers or fire or whatever, in Photoshop, there's this effect where it's really easy. When things are flattened down, things glow. But when you do it on separate layers, you can't do that same effect. So the eyes and, like... We had fire cons in that story, which you couldn't do fire the way I've done fire for like 5 years. So I was like, it's a good thing we have these fire-breathing characters that are like shooting fire every time they show up. So I have to find a new way to do fire. So that was really hard. But like, but it was definitely like a cool learning experience. And we got fast like by the end of it. But But certain panels, I remember, like, there's, like, a shot in, like, the first part of that where Optimus Prime's, like, walking through the Decepticon ghetto, and there's, like, 12 Decepticons following him. I don't know if you guys remember that shot, but, like, so I drew the background behind all those guys, separated 12 Decepticons, and in the final animated thing, they didn't animate any of that, and I was like, God, that was so much work. That could have been flat, like, but for the most part, it worked out well. But
how long did it take you to finish that?
I can't remember, but it was definitely slower than an average comic. Like, they gave me more schedule, like, more lead time, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it definitely took longer. Wow. So, yeah. Yeah. And Redemption's a much smoother, standard 2D flat comic. So, yeah. But,
so how do you like working with John Barber? It seems like you guys have been pairing up pretty regularly.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, I always try and talk well about John because just the amount of work he does, like, editing all of Transformers. And then writing a full ongoing title. That's a ton of work already. But he also edits G.I. Joe and all these other, like, Magic the Gathering, all these other books people don't think about. Where, like, I mean, he's just, like, his workload is insane. And to still have, like, the passion he has for Transformers is crazy. So so he's awesome. I mean, like, and we've gotten, like, kind of a shorthand, like, what he has with Andrew, too, where he gives us scripts now. And it's much more, like, plot-based with, like, little, like, scriptment, you know, like, that kind of stuff where it's, like, just bits of dialogue, but not the full thing. And he lets you kind of direct scenes more. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so we have, like, a much more, like loose relationship. And, like, he sent me, like, the plot for Redemption. He was like, if you want to add anything, let me know. And I added, like, a certain Decepticon. I don't want to spoil it. And he's like, if there's anyone we can get him in. And he's like, oh, yeah, he's in. So that's great. Like, so, yeah, so no, it works no out. Yeah, yeah.
Is it the one on the cover?
No, he was already part of it. Yeah.
But there's another, see him back.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a really cool part of it. Like I love Bludgeon, not spoiler, but yeah, but Bludgeon's a cool part of the story. So. Nice. But yeah,
that's wicked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it time to piss off the interviewee, Yoshi?
what part do you want me to do? Oh. do you know about this?
I don't know about
okay,
this.
Okay, so, well then thanks for listening to the show.
Oh shit. I listen when you guys tweet me. Wait, I might actually know. Yeah, tell me, but yeah. So, I do listen.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
You started a thing, so yeah. Fuck you.
That was to Daryl. That was to Daryl.
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
And to clarify, I'm going to clarify this with you because
Josh Perez.
No. From Europe.
John Paul Bovet?
John Paul Bovet.
Oh, okay.
Okay. When I said, I really don't like textures.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything on a page is a texture, Yoshi. What the fuck's wrong with you?
No, I know what you're talking about.
All
yeah.
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and we've had this conversation before where your interpretation of a story and I think it was because Charles said, you know, it's got a what's that movie, fuck, I'm sorry,
Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah. Such a Blade Runner feel.
Yeah, yeah.
That now, and I love Blade Runner,
yeah, yeah,
that now you yeah. kind of have some leeway with me, but when I look at textures in a book,
yeah.
and when you do it, but when anybody does it,
yeah,
textures don't feel like the artistic element that should be in a book that is a comic, you know.
Interesting. It's like the hand painted.
No, the hand paint. You know, yeah. if you color something in Photoshop, if you did it by hand,
yeah,
that all meshes. When you add textures, it's like a dimension that's not supposed to be there. And for me, I see red when I see a texture.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it to me, it's a cop out. It's a cheap, you know. Yeah. You want this feel in the background, and rather than do it by hand because you don't have time, you're fucking throwing in a texture.
I see your point. I don't agree with that entirely. Just because
of course
like,
you don't.
No. Well, because I don't think it's a matter of time. Like, I don't think it's so much like a time cutting thing for me. Because I think that's a great point. Like, I see things, and I'd be first to admit, like, I can go overboard on textures. Lots of artists can. Lots of digital artists. But I think for me, the reason I use them and I like them is that if you hand paint, like let's say you're drawing the thing, right? Like the Fantastic Four character, the thing, right? If you hand paint every crack and nook on him, sometimes it's so overpowering, like what you're looking at, that his hand painted texture will overpower his form in terms of like his texture on his arm, you'll lose the shape of his fingers. As opposed to like, ideally, I think where textures work best is when you have hand-drawn lines, like his picture, like the thing's hand, and then you have sort of a noise, like a light noise wall that would be the texture. So then hopefully you're reading a texture to him, but it's not interfering with, like, his form, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think when it works best, that's what, like, I'm trying to do, you know? But I totally agree with your point. Like, I hope you don't see red on every single page you're looking at. But I think that is, like, that's what I go for. And I think that's the idea behind texturing, is that you want enough of a detail without being distracted by it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, if that makes
sense. It does make sense. Yeah. And Daryl brought this up just to get me to argue.
Yeah. Oh. But, no, hey, I like talking about things that are not the usual question. So, yeah.
But to me, I mean, it is a distraction.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I see it, and this is probably me just with an ego, but I feel like since I've started bitching about this, Alex and the other guys and Josh and them have not used it as much.
Oh.
Whether that's true or not, but to me, because Alex just put out a cover with nothing. There's no textures on it, and it looks fantastic.
He doesn't do the coloring.
No, Josh does the coloring, but it's fucking, I mean, it looks fantastic to me.
Well, they fucking hate you.
That's good.
Fine. Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, I'm still playing with it, by all means. Like, I'm still, like, refining, and there's times where I, like, pull the texture way back and take it off. And I mean, I think it kind of depends on the image. And it's definitely, at least
you have developed a unique style that's different than what Josh is doing. That's different than what the others are doing. You know, it does have that retro Blade Runner.
Yeah.
You know, I can get lost in it when I look at
it.
But by the end of the book, I hurt.
Yeah. I can see that. I think it can be overpowering sometimes. Like, I do agree with you on that. Like, I think it's sort of fine balance. Like, I think hopefully your kind of characters are separating from your backgrounds and you're using different textures. And that's something I've really tried to be conscious about in recent years, is like, the texture I use on the robots is not what's on their environment.
Right.
So like their scratches and their nicks are not what the room around them is, which is actually a lot of work. If you think about, like, some people think textures is like the shortcut, but it's like, to separate everything in a room from the characters and then make sure the floor is different than the ceiling, like, that's a lot of work.
Right.
Like, in every shot. Right. But yeah, I definitely agree. Like, I think it can be a little much to look at, you know?
Mm.
So I don't think we disagree too much.
All right. Now that you're mad.
I won't leave the room. I'm not going to leave the room.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Nobody's art looks like yours.
Yeah.
Your style, whenever I see your art, is so unusual to look at.
Unique.
Yeah.
But you can also mimic others.
And unusual, because, like,
you don't
see it in comics that much.
Yeah.
And there is one artist that it reminded me of, and I was wondering if you were influenced by this guy or knew who he was.
Who?
His name was Dennis Bouva, or Wavens. He did Aliens Book 2 for Dark Horse.
I don't know.
His is very, like, sort of paint. It has the same vibe that I get from your art.
Did he do it, like, years ago?
Many years. Like, 89, 90, 91.
I'm sure,
like,
I've seen. I remember as a teenager seeing, like, alien stuff from Dark Horse, like, thinking it looked really different at the time. Like, it was probably him. It was, like, really painted.
Yes,
dark,
that's exactly him.
Yeah.
And there's a guy doing, for IDW right now, doing The Fly Outbreak.
Oh, yeah?
That's really dark, like, that, too. And now I'm starting to see more of that. So I was wondering if you might have seen that or influenced by it, or maybe your style's starting to influence other guys.
It's possible. I mean, I think in comics in general, art styles are all over the place. Like, Sarah Stone is another one. Like, a few years ago, there was not many painters out, or even people doing their line art and their colors. Like, that was kind of unusual. Now there's a lot more, like, on Saga, like, Fiona Staples, who I love. Like, I love her art, and she's another one who, like, colors everything. So I think comics are expanding, like, their art palettes from what they used to be, you know? I don't know. I mean, maybe subconsciously influenced by that guy. Like, I do remember seeing that years ago. It might have been his, and I'm really liking it. But, yeah, I haven't looked at it recently. But probably Blade Runner, honestly, is the thing. Like, people expect, they want to, like, me to cite an artist. I'm like, it's kind of like Ridley Scott. I'm like, it's like, that's, I still study that movie, like, so much. And I want to, and it's tough, too, because, like, you know, you always want things to get, like, brighter and cleaner, but also maintain the atmosphere you like, you know? Because I think the main difference between, like, animation and, like, painting is that in animation, things are really divided by, like, lines, right? And highlights cover everything. And so I like that, but I also like when things get lost a little bit. You have, like, shadows. Like, there's shots in Blade Runner where you can barely see anything, but you still can read what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's a fine line. It doesn't always work in comics the same way, you know? So
are you excited or concerned about the potential sequel?
I'm concerned, but I also kind of feel like, I mean, that's something where, like, the movie, the first one is so, like, untouchable, like, just visually, that it's like, I think the story's fine in the first Blade Runner, but people watch the movie for the visuals. Like, it's not like they're going to derail the story that everyone loves. Like, there's a reason there's, like, four different story cuts of the first movie. Like, it's not the most, like, cleanly written thing that was ever made. Like, so, I mean, I hope the sequel's good, but yeah. I'm not, like, super invested yet, you know? So.
Dream question. If you woke up one day and you were just like, I'm sick of Transformers right now. I need to take a year break.
Yeah.
And you could choose any book to work on. Who would you go work on for a year?
Probably Star Wars. Star Wars would be really thing. Yeah, like a bit of like a gritty kind of like, I always want to do like a gritty like clone trooper Vietnam kind of story, like on some like terrible war planet, you know. I would love to do that. I wanted to get into some creator owned stuff, like like just my own world.
You guys are doing it more and more.
Yeah, and I think now it's easier more and more. It's like you can just like self publish or put it on Comixology and like. Mm-hmm. And that's actually something I want to start working on soon. Like, I actually took a little break from Transformers to start a creator-owned thing right before I did Redemption, right before I jumped back on Redemption. So,
will this see the light of day?
Oh, this definitely will. Yeah,
did you write it too?
I wrote it too, and I'm
so you're doing everything.
But it's in progress. First issue's finished. Uh-huh. I haven't talked about it yet because I don't want to talk about it until it's actually like gonna come out.
How many pages?
It's 22 pages an issue, so it'll be. I think 5 issues at this point. But I didn't want to talk about it until it's actually going to be like, here's like the release, here's who it's getting published through. Like,
right.
Because I think you hear a lot of stories of people doing stuff and they're like, oh, we'll find a release date later. It's like, no, I want to like talk about when it's actually like going forward.
So are you going to wait until all 5 issues are done and then get it? Or are you going to use the first issue as like, hey, I'm awesome.
I think, hopefully that, yeah. I'm going to, like the first issue is being lettered right now by Tom Long at IDW. So I think once we have enough of that together to like show people, you know, then we'll go from there. And also Chris Metzen I worked with on a lot of stuff. He and I want to do something together too. Yeah. So I just kind of want to expand out. I think all of us, we don't just want to do Transformers forever. Mm-hmm. Kind of like getting back to what we were saying earlier about like, we want to do other stuff so that not to leave Transformers, but to hopefully bring on more readers onto, which helps everyone in the room, you know, so that's the plan.
What books are you reading right now?
So behind on stuff. I just read. Last thing I read was that new Dark Knight Returns, that black and white noir edition, which is like a beautiful looking book. Uh-huh. And Saga I read. What else? God, I'm so behind. This should be the easiest question of all. I got the new Batgirl, like the first trade of Batgirl. Uh-huh. But what about you guys? What do you read? Jog my memory. I'm like, what did I just read?
Well, you're involved in the Secret Wars.
Secret
right
Wars.
Now.
Okay. Secret Wars. Yeah. So I just read the first like 5 of those. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. Do you like it?
I'm into about 10 of the fucking the
side ones. Oh, I'm only reading the main
book. Main one. Yeah, the main one's decent, and then there's about 3 or 4 of the side ones that are decent, and then the rest of them seem to be a joke right now. So
the main one is hitting so many. Like, one of my best friends, like the biggest Doctor Doom fan in the world, on Earth. So I was getting these random tweets like, you need to read Secret Wars. And then you need to read Secret Wars in all caps. And I'm like, all right, I'll pick
interesting.
It
up. New Avengers and Avengers 2099, and I even a couple other people I've talked to and some of the people I follow on Twitter have tweeted about it. The new Captain America in this Avengers is a woman, but she, when she's in her garb, she is Captain America, but she takes it off and her whole like identity changes and her like muscular structure.
So she's a man when she puts the suit
on? No, she's a female.
Oh,
but she gets like all hulked up, not like Hulk, but she gets all ripped. But then when she takes it all off, she like trims down to like a secretary.
Interesting. You know?
But she has no recollection of being Captain America.
Thank you for it's not like making that sexist at all. That was awesome.
I'm sorry. It's just like just looks like a normal woman, but has no recollection of anything to do with Captain America at all.
Oh.
But when she's Captain America, Captain America is very, very aware of the alter ego. And that there needs to be no discussion about her being Captain America. Huh. Because this person has no idea that they are Captain America.
Interesting.
It's very cool.
Yeah,
I'm trying to keep it up and not be too far behind because the story gets a little crazy with so many new characters.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to try and keep up with that one. It's a new one. But
anyway, I did love that Punisher moment. Are you reading Secret Wars at all? Anybody?
I'm not.
There's a great, not to get off Transformers too much, but there's a great Punisher moment in like one of the issues where like the world, I'll spoil it for you guys. It's like the world is literally coming to an end.
Yeah!
So the Kingpin sends out an email to all the villains and he's like, he's like, okay guys, you know, meet here at my place. Like, we're just going to watch it on TV. We're going to watch the world end.
Yeah.
And so all the villains like Bullseye, like Scorpion, Lizard, they're all just showing up. And then the world's like ending momentarily and the Punisher still walks in the door and he's like, He's like, well, if I die, I can't take bullets with me, so here we go. And he just loved it. He's like, they're all going to die in 5 minutes. But he's like, but I'm still going to kill you before that. Like, that's such a great
friend. You got to love his dedication.
Oh, yeah.
This is fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I love The Punisher. What are you reading?
I've been reading the new Star... I'm behind the new Star Wars, but I've been reading the Darth Vader.
Yeah, we're talking about
Because it's set after the New Hope, so after the Death Star has been destroyed, and Vader's been, like, super demoted. Like, the Emperor has, like, put him under, like, random underlings, and he gets treated like shit and everything, and then he's, like, slowly building his power base and, like, back up, and, you know, it's all... And then, like, I'm gonna spoil something now. Like, the last couple of issues, he like, hires Boba Fett to track down the pilot who destroyed the Death Star, because he doesn't know who he is, but he recognizes he's strong with the Force. And Boba Fett comes back to him. He's like, I didn't catch the kid, but I've got a name for you, Skywalker. And Darth Vader just, like, he's on the ship. He's, like, looking out. You know, there's a glass pane. He's just looking out into space.
No!
So he has a flashback. He's like, he thinks back to when he first became Darth Vader, and the Emperor says, oh, you killed your wife.
Uh-huh.
And your babies are dead and everything, and he remembers that, and then he's like, okay, it will all be mine. He will be mine. The galaxy will be mine. And then, like, you see, as he's looking out on the starfield, all the glass around him is cracked.
Oh, nice.
Because he's, like, you know, he's used the Force to, like, just, his anger has, like, completely,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
It hasn't shattered. It's just all cracked.
That's nice.
So it's just, like, showing, like, the whole psyche of Darth Vader and his journey after Star Wars.
Nice.
It's really cool.
That's awesome, yeah.
That crosses over with the main title, too. Like, it was like Star Wars 6 or something, and Darth Vader 6 had, like, the same ending, where Fett comes in and tells him, and he gets angry, but they added a couple more panels in the one book that the other book didn't have, which I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
What are you reading, Jimmer?
I'm reading an edition of Secret Wars. I read this thing called Transformers.
Oh, do you? Oh, nice.
It's about robots.
Oh, I'm out. Robots. I can't relate.
No, I'm checking out that Fly Outbreak that IDW is doing, and I read any of the Guardians of the Galaxy titles.
Oh, cool.
And the Star Wars titles and the Secret Wars. My girlfriend got me into Deadpool, so I'm checking out his Secret Wars, which has nothing at all to do with the main event. It's like he puts himself into the old Secret Wars that happened in the 80s. He was like, yeah, I was totally there. Don't you remember me, guys?
And I'm reading Batman 66, but nobody cares.
Oh.
Are you going to be asked to work on ROM or Micronauts?
I don't know. They just got that license, and we just heard about that, so I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
I mean, I think there's lots of stuff at IDW I think we'd all like to kind of jump. Like, I've been wanting to do Judge Dredd for a while.
Right.
I love Judge Dredd.
Your style would suit Judge Dredd very well.
I would love to do... I mean, I think just... A lot of the titles, Transformers the same way, like, you're just booked, they're booked schedule-wise for, like, a year. It's hard to kind of jump in, but, yeah, I would love to, that would be cool, yeah.
All right, let's bring us back to TFCon, and we'll close out. Peter Cullen was here.
Yeah.
Did you see anything? Did you meet him?
I did not. I wanted to so bad. I met Frank Welker recently,
bastard.
But I wanted to meet Peter Cullen so bad.
Right.
Did not get to meet him, yeah.
He said something in the panel today that was a shock to all of us. He was the voice of Predator.
I heard that he's the laughter voice when he's laughing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just read that online.
And like, also the clicking noise.
He's the clicking noise?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought that was like a sound system effect. Like,
he did it right there.
Yeah.
Really?
He did it. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's...
I'm so sure there's like 14 videos of it.
And he did it. He said he did the noise so quietly that the film's director was like having a heart attack. He didn't think he was making any noise.
Wow.
And the sound technician called him up. 5 minutes later, he comes down happy and just like, you rocked it.
Wow. No, that's amazing. Yeah.
So he was super polite. Like,
yeah,
I was blown away. I was not expecting.
He did his G1 Optimus voice. He did G1 Ironhide. Yeah.
That's amazing.
We've been asking this on Twitter, and we'll talk it on the show later, but if you had the chance to meet him, what would you have him sign?
I don't know.
Your Enterprise?
Man. Yeah, I know. Yeah, just to confuse him. I carry this giant model. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, because it was funny because people were buying things for me today to get him to sign.
Yeah.
So now I feel like if I brought something I drew for him, he'd be like, I've signed like 10 of these. I'd be like, no, but I drew this for you.
Yeah, but I did it.
Yeah,
I'm the one who did it.
Yeah. I don't know. know. I mean, like, I think it's tough whenever you meet someone like that, because it's like, what can you say that they haven't heard before? Mm-hmm. Like, something just, I don't know what I'd have him sign. Just
shake well, his I, hand. You know, I he said hi, and I'm like, I'm Yoshi from Alaska. And it just, he just was taken back.
Oh,
like,
I bet.
I love Alaska. Yeah. You know, are you fucking kidding? Dude, yeah. I was in, you know, I mean, it was
nice.
I was like,
well, that's an unusual
thing. I didn't have a follow up to this, Mr.
Well, that's because I'm sure that's unusual. He doesn't get that.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But apparently he's been there and he loves it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
did you guys all meet him?
Yeah.
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 Oh, he did. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I want to meet him one day.
I think he's here tomorrow.
I know. Pull some strings. Yeah, that'd be nice. I know it's, I think it's kind of limited on what
play,
he's...
Play the VIP card.
I don't know. Just once in my life. It's like the Optimus Prime. I should.
All right.
You've drawn him how many times?
I know. Yeah. It's like, you meant so much to me. That's what I do. I'll be crying.
I'm adding you to my collection.
I know.
I've watched you die.
All right. Any other questions?
Nope.
All right. We're going to go drink and eat food.
Nice.
Good night, transceivers. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you, Livio.
My pleasure.
Yes, thank you. Have a good night, guys.
Bye-bye.
Sweet.
Thanks for picking up our transmissions. Give us feedback on our website at www.transmissionspodcast.com. There you can find all of our contact information on social media, as well as all of the links to our show notes discussed on each episode. You can also email us directly at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com.